Morning. I guess if I would have known the furnace was out, I would have got one of those fire and brimstone messages together to bring a little heat. Or maybe get, have you seen the Pentecostals, how they call down the fire, you know, in the NAR movement? They're like, fire! I guess they don't realize that when God rained down fire, it was always in judgment. But, you know, we've been in James, and it was in James 3, and there's been a series of events in the past couple of months that have happened in my life, and Romans 8 has really encouraged me, specifically verse 28. We all are familiar with that. So I thought maybe we'd take a break from James and kind of discuss Romans 8. You know, Paul's letter to the Romans was, some people call it a theology book. We see our relationship or our, where we are as, in God's eyes as sinners. We see the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing us to the Lord or to God through Christ. We see Christ's role. We see God's role. And really a lot of that's contained in Romans 8, 26 to, 31. So we're going to kind of concentrate on that and hit on those verses. Especially the Holy Spirit. It's really the most, neglected of the Trinity, the third part of the Trinity. It's so abused as far as, like I was talking about the Pentecostal movement. It's almost, I think of these men as, these pastors as like witch doctors. They get in there and they get you all pumped up, like they're conjuring up the Holy Spirit, like he really showed up. You know, the Spirit was there today, brothers. You know, it's a weird thing. And I think that's why the Pentecostal movement is so prevalent, like in Africa and in places like Jamaica, where there's already this witchcraft. So they can kind of relate to that a little bit, except for instead of conjuring up these, this witchcraft or these witch doctors, they're trying to conjure up the Holy Spirit now. So, I want to tell you, beloved, that the Holy Spirit's always there. You don't have to invite Him in, like that song, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. Well, yeah. We're a temple. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of these dispensationalists are waiting for the third temple to be built. I'm speaking to you from the third temple. You all are listening from the third temple right now. There's no necessarily going to be a third temple. It may be. I don't know that Jesus is going to build one or not, but we're the temple of the Holy Spirit collectively with the household of God. And this is, it's been such an inspiration. I mean, I've read this so many times and I felt like maybe we should take a break from James. And I hope that it encourages you as it has me, because I'll just tell you, I've had the most amazing week and I'll share a little bit of it with you. I don't necessarily want to get all topical for Sean's sake there, but we'll call it an expositopical sermon. It might be a new coin of phrase. But if you would, turn to Romans 8. We're going to read verse 26 to 31. We may go further, I don't know. It says, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is, or what the mind of the Spirit is, excuse me, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And everybody's favorite one here. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Let's pray. Father God, help. Help us understand your word, your will. Help us to understand that we go through trials and it's ultimately to bring about your perfect plan, bring us to the image of your Son. We're being conformed to to the image of Christ through trials. Also bringing others to the faith. You working through us in those trials. Lord, sanctify us with your word. Your word is truth. We love you and we praise you, and all God's children said. So, maybe some of you Bibles may have a little heading at this section. Mine says, our victory in Christ. So 26 and 27 kind of go together. So in the same way, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, but we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So, when you get to a point where you cannot understand what is going on and how to deal with it, and you're so downtrodden, it's probably actually a pretty good place to be as far as a trial goes, because that's when the Spirit intercedes for you. Like I said, we think of the Holy Spirit, it's really the most neglected of the three, but the Spirit works on God's behalf to bring us to faith. The Spirit convicts our hearts to bring us to faith. The Spirit opens our eyes to see the truth of the Scriptures and what Christ has done for us. And this is another role of the Holy Spirit, that Ephesians tells us that the Spirit is the seal and the guarantee of our inheritance. Our inheritance is heaven. It's to be with the Father. It's to be with Christ for eternity. And we think of that, you know, and a lot of people think of heaven as like, well, it's going to be this great, happy place, which it is, and you're going to get everything you want, which I don't know about that. I have no idea. But the one thing about heaven is there's no more sin. There's no more death. There's no more frustrations. There's no more anything. You'll be made whole. You're complete. You're completely conformed to the image of Christ. So that's what heaven is going to be about, being made whole and complete. So the Spirit does all this work to bring us to faith. And then, as we go through trials, the Spirit intercedes for us, because we don't even know how to pray or what to say, because we're so beat down, we just don't know. And you cry out like, Lord, I don't know. So the Spirit intercedes. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. God knows the Spirit. God is the Spirit. So He knows. So the Spirit's interceding on our behalf and making things come about for our good, for God's glory. Verse 28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So all these things that we may be going through are ultimately for God's glory, to bring us to perfection. As James says, count it all joy in the various trials that you're about to endure, because it brings about perfection, not perfection in the sense that we're going to be made perfect in this lifetime. We're not. It's not going to happen. But it's maturity. So we're being matured. So you go through these trials, and like I said, I've been through it for the last couple of months. Sickness, arguing with people, just dealing with even things at the church, being in a lawsuit. And I've just been really down. Caught the flu twice last month. And it's hard to count that as a joyful thing. If you had the flu this year, it's not nowhere near as fun as everybody led me to believe. And I did it twice, so I know. But you're going through a trial and you're like, okay, this is really not fun. And you don't understand it, and you just don't get it. And you don't know how to deal with it. You give it all to the Lord. You know, that saying, let go and let God. I don't know much I like that, but it's kind of what this is. It's you have no way to deal with it. So the Spirit intercedes for us. All these things are working together for good, because we're His children. We are called according to His purpose. So all these things are coming around about, and all these things are working out for God's glory and our own benefit. And a lot of the benefit is too that we're able to help the next person that's going through, not necessarily the flu, but like a specific trial. If I can relate to what Sean's going through, I can say, hey, Sean, this is what I understand what you're going through. so we can help the next guy along, or the next lady. And the next section here is just beyond. If you ever had any doubt about your salvation, 29 and 30 should really sum that up for you. And you know, the like I said, Romans is a theology book, and if you're in a debate with an Armenian and you're on the Reform side, you got that Romans 9 mic drop. It's like, Romans 9, I'm done. This conversation's over, because it's not all of Israel's Israel. So you get to that, and we like to use, but really that Romans 9 kind of starts right here. In verse 29, it says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. These whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. So you've got foreknew, predestined, conformed. Foreknew, he predestined. Those whom he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified and glorified. That's 5 points of salvation. We went through this the other night on a Wednesday night. So, those whom he foreknew. This is before the foundation of the world, each person that would ever come to faith, their name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, this foreknowledge, it's already been established. In Revelation 20, it refers to Christ as the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. So we know that Christ was not slain before the foundation of the world. He was slain 2,000 years ago. But it was as if it was already done. It was going to happen. That plan of redemption was already set in place before the first speck of dust was created. Also, before that first speck of dust was created, he knew you intimately. I don't remember the theologian that said it, but he said, as far as salvation goes, it said that God thought it, the Son bought it, and the Spirit wrought it. So God has this plan. Christ paid the debt to bring it about. The Spirit brings us to faith. So before anything was ever created, the first speck of dust, the first star was hung, a drop of water, already knew his children. And if that's not an assurance to you, it should be. And the people in the Armenian camp will argue the foreknowledge as being like foresight. Like God looked down the corridor of time and he says, oh, I see Smitty's going to make a decision for Christ. Hey, Smitty. He's going to make this decision for Christ. And so based on Smitty's commitment to me through the work of Christ, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to come to faith. And so you got this, people compare it to like a foresight. Like God looks down the corridor of time, and that's not at all how it goes. And then they'll argue, well, how did God create some before the foundation of the world for salvation and some not? And that's just not fair. Well, number one, who are we? The scriptures tell us he made some vessels for honor and some unto dishonor. And if you want to use that argument on the other side, if God looked down the corridor of time and said that, you know, Jason and me wasn't going to come to faith, why would he have created me? So what an evil God that would be. So that's not fair either, right? So you've got the same argument on two different sides of the coin. So those who he predestined to become deformed to the image of his son. So we're going to be conform to the image of Christ. We're going to be made Christ-like through this life. It's called sanctification. So we're always being conformed to the image of Christ through his word, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through trials, how we deal with trials. You know, we've been going through James, we understand how trials and all these things and MacArthur calls James a book of tests. I think of it more of a book as Christian living, how we should conduct ourselves as Christians and how that we should be, you know, like you say, if you're a welder, you should probably be able to weld two pieces of pipe together. It's just like that. We're this vocation that we've been called to, which is being a Christian, we should be able to manifest that in our lives. That's in good works or fruit. So we're being conformed to the image of His Son. Knows Him He predestined, He called. So the Holy Spirit does the work in us, convicts us. We realize we're in need of a Savior. We realize we're sinners in the eyes of a holy God, and that we need a Savior. So the Spirit does that work in us, brings us to faith. And when we're called, we're justified. We're no longer seen as sinners in the eyes of a holy God. I saw a picture online. There's a guy, a feeble little man, holding a sign that says sinner. And there's a cross in front of it, and there's this light shining on the cross. And the cross beam of the cross is blocking where it says sinner. So God, being that light, can no longer see the sinner anymore. All He sees is the cross. He sees Christ. He sees us as perfect. Now, no longer is God angry with us anymore. Before, God's angry with sinners. He's no longer angry with us. He can't be angry with us. It does not mean that He will not chasten us as a father does his children now. He corrects us and brings us. Again, that's part of our sanctification. When we mess up, you're probably going to feel guilty about it if you're a true believer. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. Some people think that sanctification should have been put in there somewhere, but we are being glorified right now. We are being sanctified, set apart. The word sanctos means set apart. Same word we get the word saint from. The Catholic Church, if you're a really good Catholic, you get to be a saint. It's not true. If you're a born-again child of God, you are a saint, sanctified, set apart. So we're being glorified as we speak. And if you look at these 5 points of salvation, it's also, every word is past tense. So foreknew is an already. Predestined is an already. Informed is an already. Called is an already happened. Justified is an already happened. Glorified has already happened. For the foundation of the earth, it was as if these things were already had already happened because they were going to. That's set in stone. There's nothing that we can do about it. In John 6, verses 37, 42, I want to say 64, Christ says 3 times, all that the Father has given me, I will by no means cast out. Can't. If that doesn't humble you, make you want to say, thank you, Lord, you might want to back up and punt and see where you stand. Well, the first speck of dust, the first drop of water, the first anything was created, the first star was hung. He already thought of you. Verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? I'll share a little bit about what's happened to me in my work life. It came to a head Wednesday, and it got really bad. Long story short, well, it's probably just going to be a long story long, I guess, but this guy, he's basically my landlord. I shared a shop, I paid rent, and we were friends, and we just got to where he, like, hated me, and I could not, for the life of me, figure it out. And another guy came to work for him that I've been friends with for years. He's a brother. And he saw it, and he's like, what is his problem with you? I'm like, I don't know. I can't figure it out myself. And so this guy encouraged me, and then, like, not this week, but last week, I was already in this because we were going through Reformed theology on Wednesday night, so I was kind of, I saw this 5 points of salvation, as I call it. And so we've got the 5 points of grace, or Calvinism, if you're one of those guys. Josh. And So we went through the 5 points of salvation, and this really encouraged me because, you know, this is leading up into Romans 9, where you have, you know, like I said, the Calvinist toolbox there that they just, that's the end all chapter for that debate. So I was already in here, and I was talking, his name's Lloyd, I was talking to him about Romans 8:28, you know, because everybody loves that. You know, all these things work together for good to those that love God or are called according to His purpose. So everything that we're going through is working together to bring us for God's good, for His glory, and we're going through it. And when you're going through it, you're really like, you don't like it. You know, you're supposed to count it all joy because you know that in the end it's going to be for His glory. So we were talking about this verse, and Lloyd told me, he called me one Wednesday night, I think it was. We were actually in a meeting, and he texted me. He said, read verse 26 to 31. And then it really brought it into focus even more for me, what I was going through. And, because I didn't know how to handle the situation. And then I realized that the Spirit was calling, you know, interceding for me. Because you can ask my wife, I've lost 5 pounds in a week over this whole situation. I can't eat. Couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep then. And then last night I couldn't sleep because I was excited and happy. So it's like, I'm just never going to sleep. I'm just going to be miserable all the time because I'm going to be so happy I can't sleep or miserable I can't sleep. So I'm going through this trial for months and we can't figure it out. Lloyd comes. He's a brother. He ends up supporting me in this. You know, I guess I was at my wit's end and, he was truly a blessing in helping me in the last few weeks with this. And for some reason, they felt like I needed to do something that I thought that I just didn't need to do. And we got into an argument, and it led to him threatening to make me leave my shop. Because they own it. I don't. I just rent part of it. And I decided that I really wasn't going to take a whole lot more abuse, and I just basically said, you know, do what you got to do, and that's fine. I don't care anymore. I can find a job in less than a week, I think, if I need to. And so Wednesday, it all came to a head. I got no place to work. And Thursday, and I don't think it was an accident that Josh was, he came to help me move, and Shannon was there. And I went up to pack some stuff up top in my office. And I walked into the bathroom, walked back out, and here's this guy that I've been having trouble with. We almost touched noses. As I walked out of the bathroom, I'm like, oh. And I'd then decided that I was not going to take any more, and I was just going to be like, you know, I was just going to tell him, we're done. We got nothing else to talk about. I'm packing my stuff up. We're good. Have a nice life. And, you know, Wednesday when this all came to a head, I told him, I said, you know, I wanted to leave on good terms because I was already planning on leaving. And I said, but it doesn't seem like you want that. And he's like, no, I don't. Just, that's how ill he was with me. So we almost bump into each other. He's on the phone and he does like this, like, hold on a minute. And I'm like, here we go. You know, it's getting ready to go down again. And he gets off the phone. And he looks at me straight in the eye, and he goes, girl, I want you to know something. It's like, what's that? He goes, I'm so sorry for the way I've been treating you. He said, I haven't been able to sleep. It's killed me to know how I've been treating you. And I said, buddy, I'm so happy you told me that. It's like you lifted a truck off my shoulders because I never wanted to be this way with you ever or anybody. I don't want to be that way with anybody. And I wasn't necessarily patient with this guy. I just kind of ignored him when he was spouting off all this stuff. And I apologized to him for maybe just not being the what I should have been. I said, yeah, I'm sorry too. He said, you never did nothing to me. He said, I was a jerk. I was mean to you. And I'm sorry. And he started crying. I started crying. And then we're kind of like a couple of women sitting there crying, you know, like, okay, this is weird. And so he's like, let's go in my office so we can lock the door. I want to talk to you some more. I said, okay. So we go in there, and His heart is broken. He pours himself out to me, apologizing. I said, we're good. Don't worry about that. And he says, I don't know how to not be mean to people. I'm so mean, and I don't understand it, and I hate it, and I don't want to be this way. I can't stand it. And he's just, like I said, he's broken. And trying to shorten it up here. He says, I want to be a good Christian man. And I was like, well, first step's being a Christian man. I said, and as far as being good, we're not good. We won't be this side of heaven. We can't be, you know, we'll be better, hopefully, towards people. That's part of our sanctification. We grow and we do these things. But let me tell you these things. And I told him, you know, how we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. That's all contained in Romans 2. You know, you hear about the Roman road to salvation. I told him all these things. And, he says, I just want a better life. And I said, I can't promise you a better life. I can't do that. I can promise you that you will have a better life when you go home. And all this anger that you're feeling and the sadness and the bickering that we had and just all the sin, everything will be gone and you will be made whole and complete and Christ-like. Just, you'll be conformed completely to the image of Christ. And he was perfect. He did everything right. And that's why he was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He's the one that could pay for your sin. And I explained how all that works as best I could. And I sat there and I just watched him for a second. And I hardly ever give an invitation, I guess, per se. But I thought, buddy, is this something you want? Is this something you desire? Is this you feel like it's right for you? And he says, yes, I do. I think Josh called me then because I'd been gone forever and they're down there loading up all my stuff. I got out of a lot of work for this too, so it was like a really good, you know, good day. And he says, what are you doing? I was like, I'm talking. He's like, is everything okay? And I said, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, I mean, I couldn't really say a whole lot. I didn't know what to tell him. I was like, I'll tell you about it. I'll be down there in a minute, I think is what I said. And he's like, yeah, man, I think this is what I need. This is what I want. And so I'm just sitting there like, wow, this is really happening, you know? And I don't, you know, you hear about some churches, it's like that happens 4 times a week, you know? And normally I would say, you know, this guy made a profession of faith, but it really seemed so genuine. I never even thought of it that way. It was like, he was so broken and he wanted this so bad that I walked back down the stairs, down to where Josh was at. I was like, he's like, what's going on? I was like, you just got saved. I don't know what else to, you know. And he's like, no, you know, because we're, you know, all the stuff that we had been through leading up to this, it was so dramatic, you know, and I was like, yeah, yeah. I mean, this is what happened. I couldn't believe it. After going through this trial, so I'm going through a trial with this person. I'm miserable. Look, I mean, ask my wife. I was totally miserable in dealing with it. And then I'm working on buying a place and there's stuff that we're dealing here in the church and everything is just like, ugh. So that's why I'm saying the Spirit was interceding for me because I just like, I don't get it. I can't deal with it. I don't know. And, you know, I never stopped praying for this guy, ever. And I told him that. I said, man, I love you. I want what's best for you. I said, as bad as we've been, I said, I never stopped praying for you. And I always wanted what's best for you. And I want you to know that. And he's like, I know. I know you. But God brought me through a terrible, like, for me, it was terrible. And this was part of it. This was most of it. He brought me through this trial. All the way up to the point where I basically get kicked out of where I work, that I make a living and feed my family. All the way up to the point of this guy being broken and pouring his heart out to me, me being able to give him the gospel, him coming to faith. And I look back and I'm like, oh, okay. So that's why we count it all joy. That's why we go through trials and we're like, okay, we understand that something's going to come of this that is for God's own purpose, His will, His perfect will for us and for His glory. And I cannot tell you, I mean, it was awful. It was not fun. And I hated it. I hated being that way with somebody. I hated that somebody, like, they disliked me enough to treat me that way. What did I do to you? You know, that's how I felt. What did I do? And we were talking, and he's like, you don't have to be in a hurry to leave, I think's how he put it. And I was like, well, we've already started. No big deal. And I said, you know, if I could have this conversation with you, if we just talked about what we just talked about, I would load my stuff up every day. I would do that every day if I got to tell someone about the Lord in that capacity and for them even to respond the way he did. And I would, every day, I would move shop every day. And I asked him, I was like, do you think that this was like all a coincidence? He's like, no. I was like, you see how God had us at odds basically this whole time and your heart was broken over it and you know, I didn't really have to give him the law. He was already brokenhearted, you know. I mean, I explained that to him, but I didn't have to really bring him to a point of where he needed to be broken. It was already there, you know. But it was the most amazing week. And I was just happy to be able to see it. You know, gosh, I've been in prisons and, you know, apparently those things happened all around me all the time because we'd leave the prisons. Like 15 people got saved. I'm like, who? You know, we get back to the church, it was like 38 people got saved at the prison. And I'm like, what? I never saw, you know. And you know, I don't know what happened. I really don't. But this is so rare for me. And it's just being able to see it. Like, I don't care. I mean, just if it had been Josh that had talked to him, I'd have been just fine with that. Like, well, all right, you know. But just being able to witness that was amazing. It was a miracle. There's no doubt that it was God working the whole time. Through these trials and this, everything. The guy coming that's a friend of mine that was a brother in Christ that I got to know even better because of this, that, you know, and him supporting me and being there for me, a person to talk to. And just, instead of me lashing out at this guy, I was able to talk to people about it to where I didn't do that. You know, I was able to unload that burden a little bit. But God is so amazing. By faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, that's it. If you're on the fence or whatever, time to stop playing. You know, I told him, I said, you took the first step, now you got to start walking. It ain't over. You got to start walking. That's with all of us. We got to keep walking. We'll make that first step and start walking. I'll tell you, like I told him, I'll be there as much as I can for you, as much as you'll allow me. I was hoping he'd be here today, but I guess it's kind of good that I was able to share more of the story than I might would have wanted to. So be praying for him. Lift him up. Let's pray. Father God, again, we come before you. Thank you so much for your mercy and grace. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that it encourages our hearts when almost nothing else will. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that intercedes for us when we just have no hope, it seems, sometimes. We have your Spirit living inside of us, dwelling in us, even when it seems like he's not. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this church. Thank you so much for the people here and the work that you're doing in their lives. We've seen so much growth, spiritual growth, Lord, maturity. Lord, I just praise you for that. Please keep us safe. For the rest of the day, as we get together for our studies tonight, please bless the efforts of these teachers, Lord. And we just thank you so much. In Christ's name we all pray. All God's children said.